Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 91st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Mercedes Brierley, originally from the port city of Avellaneda, population 330,000 in the province of Buenos Aires. She left Argentina in 94 to visit her uncle in California, but returned to the United States with her degree in travel and tourism, met a native New Englander, and moved to Maine, where she has lived since 1999, raising her son and daughter in the small rural town of Baldwin, West Baldwin, Maine, with a population of 1,500 people. So thank you so much for coming to New Mainers Speak today, Mercedes.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So what can you tell us about your young life in Argentina, what it was like, what your family was structured like?
Well, I grew up in the suburbs of Buenos Aires. So big city, lots of people, nothing compared to my life now. But I loved it then, and I love it now too. But we grew up a middle class family, and I attended private school, and then I went to college there too. Travel and tourism, like you said, Catholic Jesuit University.
And tell me about what your family did for livelihood.
My mom owned a factory that she still does. Actually, my grandfather is the one that, my grandparents are the ones that started it. And they make gowns that here, doctors, the gowns that they wear, and also like surgery
scrubs.
They do that. And also in Argentina, both students and teachers, they wear scrubs too. That's every day there, which is different from here.
Right. So people were sewing in a factory in your backyard.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a three-story building behind my two-story house.
Wow.
But yeah.
How many people worked there?
Well, when I was growing up, it was a bunch of people. I don't know, maybe 10, just to say a number. But nowadays, my mother's older and the factory is a lot smaller. They still take some orders, but not so much. My mom cuts the fabric and then they outsource the sewing. And so it's a little different from when I grew up.
Yes. Did you know the factory workers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they were like aunties.
Family. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. One of the ladies that worked there is my sister's godmother. So, yeah.
And so when your grandfather started the factory, was he already a tailor or how did he decide to start a scrubs factory?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think he, what I know like from the past is that he used to work in a place where they binded books. Like that's, I remember having a book that was made by him and was very special, but I'm really not sure how that idea started.
And you had said he's from Galicia, Spain.
Yes.
And so did he move to Argentina as a child? Was he an immigrant?
Yes. Huh. Yep.
Interesting. So Argentina is a country of 43 million people, 76.5% of whom are Catholic. You were raised Catholic, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And did you attend Catholic schools? The private schools were Catholic schools?
No, not through my elementary and high school years. But the university I went to happened to be Catholic.
And do you have any thoughts about Pope Francis?
Oh, he's a rock star. Yeah, he's all, I don't know. I think he, I like how humble he is. I like how he doesn't go with any of the fancy, things that, you know, they usually do. You know, he doesn't wear the big hat or the, you know, fancy handmade shoes. I don't know. I've read that when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he declined to live in the residence, you know, the luxurious residence that they provided. And he just lived in his little one-bedroom apartment, took the bus to work every day, you know, among the people that went to work. So, yeah, I love that about him.
Yeah, he's kind of in touch with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what we need.
And is that, is he universally popular there too?
Oh, yeah.
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 Everywhere.
Oh, he was big time pride when he was chosen.
Yeah, he's on the front of National Geographic this month.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The story is about him.
Nice.
And he's a native of Argentina, too,
yes,
isn't he? And also from an immigrant family.
He is, I think, Italian, perhaps, mm-hmm, just for his last name. I think he's Bergoglio, maybe. I don't know.
So Argentina is quite like the United States in that it has evidence of people from 13,000 years back, but was colonized by Europeans during roughly the same era. And today, Argentina is considered a country of immigrants, a crucible of races, they say, a melting pot. They have a space program, great biodiversity, high literacy rates, and a strong military. And I wonder, what else does Argentina have in common with the United States? Things that you've noticed.
Well, I when people ask me about Argentina, I always say how, like the U.S., it's very diverse geographically. You know, I love that, you know, to the north, you can actually to the northwest is jungles. To the northeast is like desert and, you know, high mountains. And, you know, there's the plains. And then to the south, there is glaciers, skiing. And so there's a bit of everything.
Yeah, it's about as tall as America is wide. I mean, the north,
okay,
North America, right? The United States.
Yeah.
Doesn't it take about 6 hours to fly down Argentina?
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty intense. It's big. And if you look at the pictures online, you can see this great biodiversity, great, gorgeous, gorgeous country. And some of it looks familiar. Some of it looks like Alaska and Colorado.
Mm. Yeah.
And Niagara Falls on steroids.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And actually, Buenos Aires is very European, too, if you look at the buildings. And
it's quite beautiful.
Yeah,
pretty
thanks.
City. So there's a lot that we have in common. What about differences living here all this time? How do you know? What do you know as differences between the two countries?
Well, what I find the big difference is, especially living in Maine and living where I live in Baldwin, it's safety. It's sad to say, but there's quite a bit of crime in Argentina. So, you know, for living there, it's part of everyday life and you just, you know, live with it and you're just very aware of your surroundings. But there is definitely... there's an awareness, and I have many stories of things that happened to myself, my family, friends. So being here, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's the safety here, and, you know, I'm not sure if it's the same everywhere in the country, but I'm just so grateful that it is here. It is this way here.
It brings a lot of ease, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To know you're in a pretty safe place. Not like things can't happen, but it's not like what you said. You said before that crime happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Burglaries and other kinds of crimes, people breaking into homes.
Pickpocketing. I worked at an office downtown Buenos Aires, and three robbers came in with guns, and they locked us all in a little back office. And they, before they left, they said they were leaving a grenade at the door, so not to open the door.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
It was very scary, yeah. Yeah.
Now, because it happens all the time, do people just cope with that in a different way than we might hear? Would that be more alarming here? Or was that pretty just alarming there,
I would think
too?
It would. I hear it would be all over the news. There, it's like every day.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what you see in the news is like, you know, murders or kidnappings, but not robberies. That's literally every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can see why you wouldn't miss that part.
Yeah. And, you know, for my children, too. It's just such an ease to, you know, have them grow up here and know that, you know, that anything can happen, but it's the, you know, for the most part, they're going to be safe and you can have that peace of mind.
Parents love that.
Yeah.
You and I both have August birthdays, but mm-hmm. growing up, yours was always in the winter.
That's right.
And mine was always in the summer.
Yeah.
And I wonder, what can you tell us about Argentina's winters? What was that like down there?
Particularly where I grew up, it's, you know, sort of in the middle of the country, and it doesn't snow. But it still, you know, it gets cold, you know, some days below freezing. But overall, no snow at all. And it's humid. But, yeah, I actually love the fact that my birthday is in the summer now. Because, I don't know, winter is kind of boring there. And it's so much more fun.
I love that. I realize when I think about the fact that people are having different seasons with the same names of the months, it perplexes me. And I realize it's such a cultural lens I look through. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing it, but it's when August is suddenly winter that really messes with my reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was telling you the other day how I used to go to the beach on vacation the whole month of January. In, you know, that was summer vacation for us. And yeah, you were amazed.
Right.
Like, it's like January, beach vacation.
Yeah. And how hot does it get in the summer where you're from?
Oh, it's very warm. Yeah. It's humid. So it's like, yeah, very, very hot. Like right now, yeah, it could be like 100 degrees and humid. Yeah.
How do you do with the winters here?
It's funny because I see through my kids' eyes and they love snow, and you know, I dread shoveling, but I love how much they like it. Mm. And even last week, you know, you could see the grass, and I was like, it doesn't really feel like winter. And then, of course, we got the snowstorm, and I'm shoveling and complaining, and you know, but
it didn't feel like winter.
Yeah, but yeah, yesterday the kids and I went through a walk through the woods, just. We spent like over 2 hours just walking through the woods because I live, you know, right in the middle of the woods. And yeah, we just walked through the neighbor's fields and it was amazing.
It was a beautiful, beautiful winter wonderland out there, wasn't
yeah,
it?
And it wasn't windy and the sun was shining and you couldn't pick a better day. So, and you know, now that I live through the seasons, I would not want to go back to, you know, even with shoveling, I wouldn't give up the winter.
Oh, that's saying something.
Yeah.
You're listening to WMPG, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Mercedes Brerly, who grew up in Avellaneda, Argentina. And she now lives in Baldwin, Maine. Growing up, you loved to study languages and geography, and I wonder when did you think you might turn these interests into a career?
Yeah, I think in high school when, you know, there was the future of going to college and just thinking what I might like to do. And I always had this dream of traveling, and I loved languages and geography. And yeah, this university had, not too many universities had a travel program, but this one had the only two did, and this one that I went to, Universidad del Salvador, had the better program, and it seemed to fit. Yeah, we, you know, during our studies, we got to study Portuguese and English also, and art and just world culture and geography. So
a rather liberal arts program.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like fun, actually.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your work in the travel industry?
Yeah. So I started off in vacation travel, so at a travel agency, and you know, selling packages, and it's super fun. But now I work on corporate travel, and so basically, I work for a company. Our clients are all corporations, and we arrange their travel to meetings and to meet with clients. So what I love about it is, one, I get to work from home. So I have my little office and I don't have to go very far. And I get to look out the window and see my backyard and be with the kids when they get off the school bus. And I also like that there's not a lot of bargaining. So, you know, it's not somebody trying to find the best deal on a package, but you know, it's a lot easier. You know, they need to go, they go. It doesn't really matter.
Your client isn't as discerning about the the prices, right?
Yeah, so it makes it easier on us.
I like that for
you. Yeah.
So beyond beef and wine, what delicious foods might visitors to Argentina find themselves sampling?
So many. A favorite that is a staple and you can find it anywhere is empanadas. And, you know, it's this little pastry filled with different things. Typical is the meat one, the beef one, but they make them with tuna. When I was there, I had my aunt actually made tuna empanadas, and she made corn. Mmm, so good. Corn empanadas. That. Yeah, it was delicious. And what else? So these empanadas, you can buy them in like the street corner or a restaurant, but anywhere. And what else? I love something my mom always made, and I make it for my kids, is arroz con pollo. And I think it's more from our Spanish heritage than typical Argentinian, but it's chicken and rice with saffron that turns the rice yellow.
Beautiful.
So yummy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would your mom still make that for you when you went home?
She didn't this past time, but yeah, she would.
I love that. Yeah. We have those family foods that are our comfort foods.
Yeah.
Back to home base.
Yeah. And big that it's, you know, every day there is dulce de leche, which is this caramel. And sort of like here, you would have peanut butter and you would, you know, put it on toast or just eat it straight out of the jar like I do. you know, in cakes or, you know, in pastries. It's everywhere. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love dulce de leche.
Yeah.
And you have very nice foods down there, too. I believe that you've got a lot of organic foods and more natural treatments of animals and agriculture than we do.
Yeah, I think as far as, you know, the agriculture and, you know, the beef, they probably don't do as much like pesticides, as many pesticides. What I do think, though, is there's not as much as variety of like packaged like organic stuff. Because like, my sister is big on organic, and it's not the same.
No, yeah, more actually just organic food.
Yeah,
even better still. Argentina is also known for soccer and tango. Mm-hmm. Soccer called football, right?
Yes.
And did you grow up exposed to either one of those things?
Well, of course. No, I didn't play soccer myself, but actually growing up, I think now it's different, but growing up, only boys played soccer. And
that was true in my hometown, too.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, everybody plays soccer. And I remember my dad listening to the game on Sunday on the radio. Like, you wouldn't, like, watch it on TV for some reason, but it was always on the radio. And, my grandmother had a big house and with a big yard. And whenever we had lots of people over, evidently, there was a soccer game going on in that yard in the afternoon.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a community. rallying.
Oh yeah.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you get tango lessons instead of ballet lessons as a girl? Or?
No, no lessons. But, you know, you are definitely familiar with the moves, I think.
Just so I don't know if it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an intense dance.
It is. I love the... not so much dancing it, but the music and just the... Like the accordion, the bandoneon is what they use there. It has a little different range than the accordion, and it's used for tango. And I love the sound of it.
Mm. Yeah, it's very beautiful. So how do you stay connected with your friends and family in Argentina and around the world when you can't make the 14-hour flight home?
Well, Facebook is big. Yeah, we're all on Facebook. And my mom, I connect via email all the time and Skype. We used to Skype. And when I first got into Facebook, I reconnected with so many friends from elementary school that, of course, I hadn't heard anything about, 20, 30 years. So that's pretty amazing. So now you can, you're on top of what you're doing, which is crazy. And and then there's this other app, called WhatsApp. WhatsApp, I guess. And my cousin and my sister and I, we all communicate, and you can not just, it's sort of like text. And we also, you also get to make calls and also send little videos and pictures. So
this is the thing for listeners who are not familiar with WhatsApp, time to know WhatsApp. People are basically having free international phone calls.
Yeah.
Downloading a free app.
Yeah. As long as both parties have the app on their phone and they have, Wi-Fi, they have a good connection. You can have a good reception phone call.
This is a really big deal for people who live international from their loved ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so your sister lives in Washington, D.C. now and your brother in Spain.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
So you're all over the world.
Yes. My poor mom. we all left her.
Is she pretty good at WhatsApp? Can she do that technology?
No, she actually isn't. We're trying to get her into that. But she's good with Facebook and, email, things like that. But
yeah, it must be a strange sensation to have all your children so far away.
Yeah, she was always very supportive, of our dreams. So that was... we're grateful for that. Yeah. But it's actually hard because she's sick now. And, even though I've, been very happy to be here, and it's the one time that it's been very hard.
Yeah,
being so far away. Yeah.
I imagine that's really difficult.
Yeah.
And you like Pinterest too, don't you?
I do.
That's kind of fun just for yourself? Or do you... Is that something you share with your family too?
No, with my sister. Yeah, but I'm very visual. So, I used to like Google things and, you get the listing of, in words of what, your search gives. And Pinterest, you search for something and it's all images. So then from there, you can actually go to the website where it is, but it allows you to... see the images first and go from there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a very established new Mainer. A little of the new is worn off. What would you have for advice to people who are more recent immigrants?
That's a tough one. I don't know. When I first came to the U.S., I wanted to assimilate and I didn't want to stick out. And I wanted to, just be a part of it, blend in. And I did a pretty good job of that. What I do regret is not teaching my children Spanish. And they know a little bit, but they're definitely not fluent. And I wish they were. my sister is doing a really good job with that. She has a five-year-old, and they only speak Spanish in the house. And I understand that a lot of immigrants do that. And I wish I had, because my whole thing was, trying to blend in, and my husband at the time didn't speak Spanish. So I didn't want him to feel left out. And, no regrets. It is what it is. But that's the one thing that right. If I had any advice, just keep those traditions and definitely your language.
That's nice. I think that's probably really helpful to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mercedes, you're so open and pleasant to visit with.
Thank you
so much for coming to the big city today and sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
I am Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Mercedes Brerly. We will close today's program with a song she's chosen for us. Mercedes, could you introduce this song and tell listeners why you chose this one in particular?
This song is called Mi Buenos Aires Querido, and which means My Dear Buenos Aires, and it's a tango. And I chose it because of its meaning, and it just talks about being far away from Buenos Aires, and it's a lovely song.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Mi Buenos Aires querido, cuando yo te vuelvo a ver, no habrá más pena ni olvido. De la calle en que nací, fue el ser tirera de mis promesas de amor. Bajo su quieta lucecita yo la vi, a mi pebeta luminosa como un sol. Hoy que la suerte quiere que te vuelva a ver, ciudad porteña de mi único querer, oigo la queja de un bandoneón. Dentro de mi pecho pide rienda al corazón. Mi Buenos Aires, tierra florida, donde mi vida terminaré. Bajo tu reparo no hay desengaño, vuelan los años y olvida el dolor. En caravana los recuerdos pasan con una estela dulce de emoción. Quiero que sepas que al evocarte se van las penas del corazón. La veretanita de mi calle de Arrabal, donde sonríe una muchachita en flor. Quiero de nuevo yo volver a contemplar aquellos ojos que acarician al mirar. En la cortada más maleva una canción, dice su ruego de coraje y de pasión, una promesa y un suspirar, borra una lágrima de pena aquel cartel.